missing a pet. Where she is, Elspeth.
Do I just look at you? Or do I look at Elf? Okay.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Becky Metcalf, and on behalf of Chelsea Harbour, a very warm welcome to this special workshop. London Design Week is all about sharing knowledge, and we're delighted that this special session is being hosted by the studio, and we have a panel of experts to share their knowledge. You probably know Studio. It's the monthly magazine for interior designers and architects and property developers. When the magazine comes into our office, we fight over it and we read it from cover to cover. There's so much in there that is of interest about luxuries, residential projects and much more. And the perfect showroom to have the session. Westmore Bathrooms has been going for over 40 years and is the go-to for beautiful bathrooms and, of course, tiles. In this showroom, Anne Sachs Tiles is one of the key ingredients, and we're surrounded by beauty. I'm going to introduce Elspeth Pridham, who's the editor of Studio, and she is going to very kindly chair the session. So please give them a very warm welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, it's quite shouting. Good afternoon, everybody. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy day to come and sit down, or perhaps it is just because there's a chair, so you wanted to come and sit down. I'd like to introduce our panel today. We've got Katie Agombar,
yes,
who is a designer here for West One Bathrooms. She's actually based in the Clerkenwell showroom, but has come down here today to help us out. Thank you, Becky, for introducing. And if you haven't been to this showroom before, please take time afterwards to have a look around because it's stunning. And then next along we have James Hillier, who's from the interior architect practice Finchatten. And at the end we have Cheryl Gerner of CG Design Consultancy and previously owned Bathrooms International. So we've got a lovely mix of designers and retailer, so we're going to hopefully really get the conversation going. If you want to pipe up at any time during the session, we're only going to be going for about half an hour, that's great. If not, we will be asking questions at the end if you want to join in. So, without further ado, we're going to go. And first off, Katie, I'd like to ask you, how can interior designers and bathroom retailers best work together? Mm-hmm. Is it too simple to say that you have the product knowledge, they have the design flair? How can we make that relationship work?
I would say, to be honest, it's however the designer and wants to work with the retailer. Do they want them to sort of give them ideas? Do they want to go to them and be like, will this work? Do they need the technical aspect? So it's just, I think the best thing for a designer to do is just establish, you know, sort of go around a showroom, meet somebody that they get on with, and they can just build up a rapport, and they both know that they're on the same level, and they can find out, right, what do you need from me as an interior designer, what do you need from me, and as a retailer, what we can give you. So you need to know all aspects of the bathroom, but sometimes it's a case of people come in and they've done loads of research, they've worked in bathrooms for many, many years, or sometimes it's their first time doing a bathroom, because bathrooms are complicated and there's lots of aspects to think about. So it's just gauging where do they start.
James, over to you. How does the relationship work for you? Because I know you do work with West One Bathrooms.
Yeah, I think, from my point of view, client comes in, they have a very specific idea about what they want. And I think, you know, touching on what you said about the complication of bathroom design, it's important to rely on the sources around you. So we'll design a look and feel in-house, present it to them, establish that, and then we'll bring them in here and we'll have everything to look at. So, and we rely on the sales reps here for their technical expertise. I think that's the really important thing.
And how long would you sit down? Would you bring your client in with you to chat to?
Absolutely.
Katie? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sort of three-way conversation.
Yeah.
And Cheryl, we were talking earlier that when you're looking at bathroom design, you should look beyond the bathroom, but the whole house.
I come from a different angle because I am a trained interior designer and I operated a bathroom showroom for nearly 30 years. So I had both sides of the spectrum covered. And I found that working with interior designers for me was a joy because we spoke the same language. But the bathroom, as you say quite accurately, is a very technical and specialised area. But it doesn't mean it is excluded from the total concept of your interior design. It is invariably an ensuite, so the bedroom and what you're doing in that bedroom, what your work is bringing to our showrooms, is very important to take into consideration. So part and parcel of the design process for me within our showroom was, what do you need to achieve as an interior designer? What do we need to give you from our product range that works with your interior design concept? We're not fighting you, we're with you. So that your bathroom turns out to be just an extension of your interior design plan, and we have been there to make sure that it technically functions. So the two have to go hand in hand. So it's very important, in my view, that any interior design element coming from a bathroom showroom comes from somebody who is either an interior designer or who respects that the interior designer in front of them can lead the conversation. Mm. It's a two-way street, and if you work together, you will end up with a project that is a unified project, not a, oh, what a gorgeous bathroom, what's the rest of the house like? It should be part and parcel of the same thing.
Oh, I agree. I think the nicer places that I've been to, it's where an interior designer's taken hold of the whole,
correct,
whole, yeah, house and the property is as a whole, and each room flows properly. And so that's nothing, like, for a salesperson, that's not something I would see. And so I would be able to sort of see the rest of the property and go, okay, well, I can show you some suppliers and show you some ideas that may help you, but you're the designer at the end of the day, and the investment is with the interior designer and to work with them.
By the same token, you've got to understand your products.
Yeah.
Because every design showroom, every showroom you go to, be it kitchen, be it bathroom, be it fabric, they're going to work with the products they have to sell. Mm. So they're not going to work beyond that. So you're going to them because you like their products. What we have to do as a product supplier is say, right, what of our products works with your design scheme? You've got a deco style, well, we've got some deco taps. If you've got a traditional style, we've got some cross, whatever it is. So we have to work together, and it's the togetherness and the idea of leaning on each other, the skill of the retailer, the skill of the designer, that has to come together. And often it doesn't, and it should.
Mm. We work a lot with listed buildings, and so we come across these amazing double height spaces, grade one listed properties in Belgravia. And you know, they lend themselves perfectly to being a bathroom sometimes. Mm. And one, you know, we have this beautiful scalloped detail in the plasterwork, which is all completely listed. And coming in here, you know, you can pick up on certain mosaic finishes, for example. And we found this amazing scallop mosaic, so it went really, really well. And had we not done that, then we probably, you know, we may not have come across it. So
can I pick up on that point? That's very interesting. Mm. That coming in, you need to come in the showrooms and keep being refreshed as to what's new. Mm-hmm. And leading on from that, what makes an exceptional bathroom? I know that's such an open-ended question, but is it the product? Is it the lighting? Is it everything? What can, no? Okay, Cheryl, what does
it's the design?
Yeah. Yeah.
What,
yeah,
makes an exceptional problem? Our industry, our design industry. I'm speaking now with my designer hat on. Our industry has fought a long time to be recognised as not just ladies who lunch or people who've got a little time on their hands. We are professionals. Mm. We understand not just bathrooms or kitchens, it's fabrics, it's colour, it's lighting, it's understanding the client. It's creating a space, be it work or domestic or leisure, it doesn't matter. A space that works within the concept of the client's brief, that functions, and that is beautiful in their eye.
And
it's a unified thing. It's not an isolated thing. Mm. So each showroom will have different things to offer. That's why you have to look just beyond one place. But a good showroom will say, it doesn't matter if we haven't got it, we'll find it for you. We're not going to lose a client or a customer, are we?
Yeah. I was going to say our showroom only shows one brand. And like here, obviously, you see a lot of tiles, but West One deal with over 750 suppliers. So like, how does somebody know coming in here that we do that? Well, you need to talk to us. And
Or come to Bathrooms International.
I could send them there.
I know you did.
For example, there is lots of showrooms around here. So I've been into Samuel Heath today because I've sent quite a few clients to Samuel Heath recently. And they come in and it's fit their brief and they fall in love with the product because they can see the quality. It meets every expectation. So, and I think that that's important to show the client that, but also as a good sort of interior designer and a salesperson, it's be able to sort of giving them the dream and giving them sort of this creation, this design that you're creating. It's not necessarily something that you can see in a showroom. It's all these aspects coming together. So what I always say to people is I always put a mood board together because it's that tile over there with that shower head and you don't know what they look like on the same page. And it's important to bring them together. And I think coming off what Cheryl was saying was that it's how the room works as a whole that makes it exceptional. Yeah, okay. And I would also say that it's still having the practical sort of element within it as well, which I've seen many of times, you know. There was a post on Instagram which my colleague showed me, and it was this beautiful basin, but the taps were too short for it. And you just look at it and think, well, they haven't thought about this.
But that's because that's the lack of... It's the lack of the design ability, yeah, understanding the need for projections and for fitting, for, yeah, wall mounting or whatever that you do. That's what you people, you lot out there are coming to us for, is for the technical expertise so that your drawings reflect the absolute correct dimensions for everything that is required, that the service is coming in to feed you for what's required, mm-hmm, so that the builder can build it without your client coming back and thumping, mm-hmm, you on the head because their bill is twice than it should have been because it was overlooked to begin with.
Yeah,
can
that,
I bring James, yeah, in here and just ask, how do you manage client expectation? We were touching on this earlier. Bathrooms, yeah, quite often are very small, mm, and you know, people now especially want a separate shower enclosure, a separate bath, they want storage, they want
all the
basins. And you came up with a very interesting word earlier when we were saying, how do you manage that?
I can't remember the word now.
Compromise.
That was it.
It's kind of a word that we try, yeah, we don't use very often, but actually it is compromise.
No, I think, you know, as much as a designer and a creative person, you meet a new client, you want to impress them, make a good impression. So a lot of people kind of overdo it and say yes to everything. But you can shoot yourself in the foot there. Mm. I think it's very important to be able to say no. If a client comes to you with a 2x2 square meter bathroom, a 2x2 meter bathroom, and they want everything in it, it's about saying, actually, no, you're probably not going to get, you know, a 1.8 meter bath and a walk-in shower and a double basin and a bidet and a WC. You know, you're not going to get all that. What you can have is you can have a bath with a shower over and two beautiful columns of storage either side. And you show them a sketch of how that looks as well. You basically sell your idea. Mm. And I think it is about them compromising with you to find a beautiful sort of solution.
It's a compromise. We quite, yeah, often see that as a weak word, but it isn't a weak thing to do. It's being strong and saying no occasionally.
If you back up your design, they're more likely to say yes. Yeah. Whereas if you just say it, they're not going to buy into it as much. So it is important to visualize it if you can.
And also, you mentioned earlier that you still do quite a lot of hand drawing.
Yeah,
do you feel that really helps?
We do a huge amount of hand sketching, yeah, because personally, I feel it's a dying technique. You know, I also sketch on an iPad, but it's not the same. You'll never achieve the same quality. And above all, to be able to sit in front of a client and hand sketch,
yeah,
something, you know, as rubbish as it might look, is so important. And it's so important that they buy into that process. And then they're much more likely to say, yeah, I love it, you know, rather than I'm not quite sure.
This is really important, actually, when you go into general bathroom show.
I hand draw.
I know, I didn't mean that.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is a lot of bathroom shows, high street bathroom shows.
Oh, okay.
That it's done on CAD, and most of the CAD designs are drawn up to work with the products they are selling.
Mm.
Not with the concept of design, and there are two different areas there. So you have a CAD design, which is very much a peripheral thing. There's the soil pipe, so we'll leave the toilet there. There's the basin, because it's there. The bath goes there, and we can't get a shower, so we shove one over the bath. and that's the CAD drawing, and then there's a render that comes up, and it looks really nice on render and really nice on the CAD. The client, and you come up, and it's something that you may as well gone into B&Q and seen it. In fact, in B&Q it would probably look nicer. So the design is your designers. Design is a specific, you're trained. This is not a joke, it's a profession. We have a talent. Our talent lays in different directions. Some of us are more traditional, some of us are more modern, it doesn't matter. But you have to respect the element of design and the concept of design. There is a concept of how do we create space? How do we create a unit in a depth like this? Well, you can. How do we do a little shelving thing in there? Well, you can. How do we light it? You can. You can do whatever you want. So all this business of the CAD saying, no, you can't because my product doesn't fit there, blow the CAD design. Talk to me as a designer one-on-one. You're the bathroom expert. Mm. I'm the designer. Let's work together. If you can't hand draw it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's better if you could, but it doesn't matter. But listen to me as your designer. I would listen to you. What do you want to achieve? Now let me go away and try and achieve it. Mm. If I can't hand draw it, I'll find James and he can hand draw it. But somebody will. But that's the essence is that we are talking design in bathrooms, not bathroom supply according to a design. There is a difference. Work together. Mm.
Yeah.
And I think the bathroom showrooms need to open their eyes to working together with interior designers and creating exactly that. A beautiful design that works with your concept for your client at the price they want to achieve it.
I think adding to that.
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to mention, you just said price. As you said, how to manage your clients. The massive thing is budget. I'm astounded that the amount of interior designers that come in and they've invested, you know, a client has gone to an interior designer to invest in them to design their bathroom, but they're not given any budget to do anything with it. You can't design a bathroom if somebody's got quite, you know, they want their bathroom to be a step above the rest. They want it. That's why they've been hired an interior designer. They want their property, not just their bathroom, but then they're not actually given any budget to do it with.
But our job also, as bathroom people, not design, because design people completely coming from a different angle, seriously in the middle of both where I sit in my life, but always remember that a bath and a basin and a toilet are receptacles. If you're going to spend your money, spend it on things that are technically
Absolutely.
Working, physically working. Your taps are working pieces. Mm. You don't need them seizing up. Quality in your taps and the plating is paramount. A bath is a bath. It's a receptacle. If it's cast iron and you drop something on it, it's harder to repair than what we call these plastic things. These plastic things can be repaired in a heartbeat. So, and they're warmer. You know, and they don't hurt your back. And the older you get, believe me, you want the warmth and no hurt. But the fact is, you can play with budgets. You don't need a fortune spent on a sink. It's a sink, a basin. You can have a basin on the counter that looks just as good, whether it's cost you £10,000 or £200. It doesn't matter. What matters always in your budget is the functional part. So you can come in on budget, but tell the bathroom showroom what your budget is. Allocate a budget so
Absolutely.
We know where we're working.
Yeah.
Are we working on tiles or marble? Nowadays, you've got porcelains that look like marble. Mm. You've got the they're just fantastic. That's it. Well, all right, you turn me around. I had the Prosecco, you didn't.
Fair enough.
And I told you it was my fifth. Don't start with me.
Right, to order.
Actually,
I'm so glad you're there.
Every showroom, actually, there's some champagne showrooms, not Prosecco showrooms, but I'll tell you later.
Cheryl, can I just pause you there? Katie, can I ask?
Yeah.
What is your favourite flourish? When people are sitting down with you, and they, I mean, everyone always says the wow factor. What product or group of products you like to see in a bathroom that you know at the end of the day the customer's going to be really happy with?
Well, I would say thinking of the bathrooms that I've worked on and sort of the ones I'm sort of most proudest, it tends to be the tiling. I mean, you can see around here, there's some really sort of extravagant tiling. There's some just beautifully designed tiling. That really does make a statement in a room. But just going off what Cheryl was saying, the finishes of brassware, I mean, there's some beautiful ones here. This is all Dornbracht, and we have Callista around here. They are very, very really nice product, but the finishes just take it to a different level. There's nothing sort of, I don't know, feels much more luxurious than a tap when you turn it, and it just the finish just shines around the room. So I think things like that really do make a difference in a bathroom.
And what about you, James? I mean, you mentioned earlier the architecture that the rooms in. I mean, it's lovely. It's an advantage if you're going into a space that you've got beautiful architecture. But is there any sort of signature design that you like to put in?
Something completely different. I think the most important thing in a bathroom, I think there's always a way of making space for it, is to provide a space to sit. Whether it's a fitted space or whether it's a freestanding piece, I think that's so, so important. And especially, you know, when it's a husband and wife or a couple, for me, in an evening, in the bathroom, that's like one of the only times you really get to have a chat with someone.
I've had many
clients say that. It's where the most important conversation happens in a lot of cases. So
that's really interesting, actually. I was talking to Vitra last week, and they were saying that they're coming up with this.
No, I didn't think you were.
Cheryl. They're coming up with this whole concept of shared bathing and the bathroom as a shared space. Mm. So that's something that you're already saying is very interesting and very useful
I used to love the idea. What James said was absolutely right. The double-ended bath for me was the most perfect way to spend a day or the end of the day, having another one of those and a chat. But I have a really big issue, and I've written a number of articles on this, on the idea of a shared bathroom. I am not a shared bathroom lover. I think the magic of life very much disappeared when you get someone coming in and peeing in front of you. I'm sorry, it's not for me. The idea of two toilets is perfect. Thank you. And two basins. I like to sort of come and join in my double bath after I've had my shower, my loo, done my teeth. Now I share my glass and my bath. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. I love it. And really, the property world with two bathrooms per master bedroom.
Well, actually, I do remember hearing an interview with Michael Caine a few years ago, and they asked him, what's the secret to your long marriage? And he said, we've got two bathrooms.
There you go. Thank you. The magic, bathrooms. I mean, what is magical about... Ablutions are private, are they not?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Right, well. So we've worked with James quite a bit here, and to be fair, it's very rare there's a toilet in the master bathroom. It's always a separate toilet.
Yeah, we do.
But I like two toilets.
Yeah.
I'm talking two here.
No, at work we do.
I'm improving sales.
At work we do his and hers, master suites. We'll do huge master suites for individuals, his and hers. But, you know, for normal people, right?
No.
You're sharing a bathroom, right?
We don't have
a bathroom.
We were high end.
I don't live in Mayfair and have, you know, two master suites. I think that's really important. But going back to the design that you were talking about, you know, the overall design of the property and bringing that into the bathroom.
Yes, 100%.
What we've done recently is a beautiful sort of upholstered Rubelli velvet stool bench. And it just kind of made it because we'd used that fabric on the curtains in the bedroom
and in
the whole thing just kind of sung to us at the end. So that was really good.
Yeah, it's part of your house. It's not a separate entity.
And we were talking earlier about beautiful wallpaper in bathrooms.
Oh.
We're seeing that coming through. And I think soft furnishings in bathrooms, they can be a really strong design statement.
You really want me to say what I'm going to say on that, don't you? Yeah. I have a big issue with general bathroom showrooms. A design in that I see a lot of, we've got a really modern design coming out, we've used all the modern tiling, and you think, it's just nothing, it's an empty nothing space, when you've got the most fantastic sustainable wall coverings out there that are suitable for bathrooms and kitchens now. Wallpapers, they're beautiful, they're glitzy, they're glamorous, they've got visual texture, they've got actual touch, texture, everything about them are beautiful. And you can actually bring your design right the way through now into that room. A bathroom used to be a separate area to the house. It's like the old scullery kitchens that were in the basements when the days when madam didn't cook. But, you know, now you want it, kitchens are open to living spaces. They have to be part of the area, as do bathrooms. And some stuff here I've seen today in some of the showrooms Mm. You can do that now, and it should be done. Yes. Yeah. That's how it should work. We should work together as an industry, not into
making features, making it strong. And I completely agree with you. There's been quite a move towards the sort of hotel bathroom look, which seemed to me to make be a bland bathroom look, and getting the decorative and the decorative finishes and the tiles.
100%.
And it can make it really exciting.
And it's affordable.
Do people still... The kitchen always used to be the priority when people are doing up their houses. Is that still the case, or are bathrooms now... So what do you think, Katie? Are you seeing people spending a bit more money in their bathroom?
I think people have this misconception that they generally... If it's generally with house builds or house renovations, they'll... Ooh.
Fifth glass.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Cheryl, you just looked at that.
It's one of my friends.
But when people do house builds or bit massive renovations and they're doing the whole property, that often they'll start with the kitchen. And I'm actually designing, well, bought my own kitchen recently, and the decision's a lot easier. And if somebody says that you it's X amount, you just go, okay, well, it's a big space. There's a lot of units going on. I've got a lot of stuff in here. And you've got a fridge freezer, and you don't just want the standard oven, you want the all singing, all dancing, and you can justify spending the amount that you do, what clients do, on the kitchen. But then when it comes to the bathroom, like what you were saying earlier, it's just a sink. But then you see sinks like this, and I mean, brassware in there really pops. That's what I mean about brassware. But you just go, well, why is it this much? And it's like, well, actually, you spend a lot of time in your bathroom, and you don't... I think the thing for me is it's an investment. It's something fixed into your property. If you buy a cheap bit of furniture and it breaks, you can physically chuck it out your window, but you can't do that with a bath. There you go, that's a bath, that's a hers bathroom. Her husband had a bathroom at the other end of the house. So, completely separate onto her wardrobes. The kitchen takes priority, the decisions are easier to make, you've just got finishings and a layout to play with. With a bathroom, it's much more complicated, and you're looking at the items a bit more individual. You're not looking at, you know, how much the units cost. It's that bath is £5,000, that tap is £1,500, that basin is £3,500. That is a solid marble basin, for which Italy sent me pictures and went, which marble do you want? This one has slightly darker tones. And you're going, oh, they all look so good. But I'm just a salesperson. So. That is porcelain. Oh, it's gone now. But yep, that was porcelain. That was bookmatch porcelain. So although they spent much more on the real marble basins, there wasn't so much of a cost on
them. But again, that's back to managing expectations. If they find a piece they love, then have that. But then let's find compromise.
Exactly.
But there was also a misconception with bathrooms. I think people in the past used to look at a bathroom as a practical area, and something you touched on, which was absolutely right. This is the room that sees you first thing in the morning and last thing at night. This is the room that you, when you don't feel well, you run a hot bath and you lay in it, and it's going to give you comfort. There are so many areas of your life that your bathroom gives you comfort and joy in. Why should it be treated as just a room that you pass through? You don't pass through it. You probably spend more time in it than you realise. And the client needs to understand that. And with the advent of televisions in bathrooms, or audio, you've got your music, your speakers, whatever goes on in there. You sit and chat in there. Mm. I know you're not married, because when you get married, you don't chat in there anymore. You just take your own glass in there and just lock the door and think, thank God I got a place to go on my own. But look, whatever the reason is, that bathroom calls you in. And why should it be treated with any less respect than any other room in your house?
Absolutely.
It should not. Mm. It deserves the same consideration. It is part of that home. And I think the showrooms and the designers need to work together to make sure that is continued to be achieved within the concept of the designers. They've been paid a great deal of money to create something for their client. Mm. And it's up to the designers also to explain to a client the value of the products that you're putting in. Mm-hmm. Which is why I said what I said, is the bath doesn't have to be a fortune. But things that work do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they have to function.
Unfortunately, that's gone so quickly. That is our half hour. So are there any questions from the audience? Would anybody like to ask the panel a question? Oh, over there. Oh. Can you shout?
Really interesting hearing everything you said. Most of my clients, sort of historically, people were very interested in marble, but match porcelain, that kind of look. And we've seen a lot of it in these photographs. I'm finding more and more clients going back to tile. Mm. But to me, the big issue here is not so much the tile themselves, although there's so many fabulous ones and sex, but actually the fitting and the designing of where the tile sits, because I see it done so badly, almost always.
Absolutely. I would, that room, I'm not happy with the fitting. So absolutely, I agree. The installation is as important, if not more important, than the product, because you spend a fortune, and he's put my controls way up too high.
And an expensive product fitted well.
Exactly. Exactly.
James, do you have any tips on how you can manage that?
Yeah, as a designer, we obviously, you know, from a cost point of view, we always specify tiles. And from a durability point of view, clients always request porcelain as well. But it's up to me to decide where that setting out starts from.
Exactly.
I decide, because it's an aesthetical thing. It's my decision. And if the tiler mucks it up on site, they have to redo it. And it's at their cost. Because you basically provide them a drawing, a setting out drawing, and they should work to that. In the same way that, you know, going sort of off the subject, but in terms of setting out fittings and fixtures, you should provide them a height to the centre line of the back plate. And they have to adhere to those drawings, because that's how you want it to look. You shouldn't leave it to a tiler, albeit you should always use a decent tiler, someone with a good reputation. I would always ask my supplier, personally, who they would recommend.
To manage that installation as much as possible.
Yeah. And the same token, who is a designer, needs to sit for a very long time with your drawings to make sure that everything from, whether you've got wall-mounted taps or deck-mounted taps, however you're doing it, that you've got the right spacings, the right sizing, and the right projection, so that you know that your drawings reflect that, so that your tilers, when they're working with the setting out, know that that's where these pieces of kit are going. Mm-hmm. So the role is important between, again, designer and supplier. It's that interaction between the two of you. You're not enemies, we're friends.
Yeah. I think just going off of the tiling aspect, the other thing I find is that, you know, each tiler will tile a room differently. I remember doing a display in another showroom I used to work in, and because this was another company, he didn't want to pay for somebody to install this display, so he got every sort of installer to come in for a day. So it had about five people install it. And every single one, I wouldn't have done it like that, I wouldn't have done it like that. And it ended up that actually we were short on tiles, because they were all like, well, if you tiled it like this, we would have had enough tiles. So you can always guide a tiler. You can always say, look, this is how I would like to set it out. This is how I've worked out the quantities, and this is ideally where I want the focus point. You know, the grout line in the middle to line up with the shower, all sort of matching. But walls are never straight, so if they then turn around and say, actually, no, I'm not going to line it up that way, then they need to sort of discuss it with
you. So you need to keep that dialogue open and keep that
absolutely
conversation going.
Absolutely.
Have we got any other questions? Well, I've got one. Having all had a wander around today, have you guys got your eye on a product that you'd really like to work into your next design project? I know what you're going to say, Charles. I'm going to start with Katie. Have you seen anything that you would really, or it could be from West One, what would you really like to work into your next design project?
I mean, I mentioned I went to Samuel Heath already. I mean, I've seen so many clients there, and I haven't actually been in there myself. I've seen the factory, know how it's made, but oh my God, their products are just beautiful. I really, you know, the Landmark range that just fits the industrial range so well, everything that goes with it. They've got it on a concrete screed texture as well, so you can just see it really does look amazing.
What about you, James? Have you seen anything that you'd or you've just got something in mind that you'd really
from
like
here,
to use?
Yeah, from here. I'm in love with the new Paré finish, the Ansax Paré. It's a very good way of being able to use inlaid metal in a stone without having to spend a fortune. And we're using it in a powder room at the moment, where we're only going to do it as a skirting along the bottom, and then we're going to do a dark paint colour to the wall, because budget is quite tight. And then just beautiful champagne finished via range, Dornbrack.
So again,
the front suite in green and the
Thank you very much. Yeah. No, that's great. So, yeah, to, again, managing budget but giving that flair
exactly.
to the project.
Yeah.
Finally, Cheryl, what's been your
Mine is the innovation of these fabulous wall finishes. And Arte, for me, today have shown me some incredible damp environment finishes and the most stunning wall coverings that you would never believe could go in a bathroom. And it's finally softened the bathroom and made it into a room, not a bathroom. And that, to me, is vital in the softness and the interior design finish running right the way through. It's just the perfect end to a note. That's
excellent. So we all know what we've got to go and look at now. I would like to say thank you again to West Pond Bathrooms for hosting us. Thank you very much, Katie, James and Cheryl. You've been stars. It made my job very easy. I just sat here and just talked. If you like Studio Magazine, it's free subscription, so sign up for that. And please have a wander around. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. I did.
Little seats to sit down in, so you can sit down in the bathrooms, bringing your scheme into the bathroom, so it's part of your whole design for the rest of the house. And the one I really liked, bathrooms give a lot of comfort and joy, and they deserve so much consideration.
They do.
So true. Who doesn't love being in a bathroom, and a beautiful bathroom at that? Thank you so much for coming along. Thank you, wonderful panel, and thank you, Elspeth, for such a fabulous session. Many thanks.
Thank you.